This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no question he can get hot because he's done this in the past. Talking about a guy who throughout his playoff career has thrown 25 touchdown passes and only 4 interceptions. And really the only reason he hasn't been able to advance to the championship is defense hasn't shown up. But I believe Josh Allen can do this because, one, he knows he has to do it. And secondly, I think he embraces the run game he has. He has James Cook, who leads the league in rushing, who can be a great Robin to his Batman and can control games. And when you're talking about Jacksonville, they're good at pressuring quarterbacks, but not at sacking quarterbacks. Good with defense, but not great with run defense. So a lot of things tell me that Josh Allen can get things going.
Jeffrey Chedia talking Jacksonville and the Buffalo Bills. It's Sunday at 1 o'clock, and they've got a few other marquee matchups. Namely, it's you got on Saturday with the Bears and the Packers, and then Sunday 4:30, Philadelphia and the 49ers. I think Jacksonville and Buffalo, though, could easily work its way into, like, when we're all said and done and we're on to the divisional round, could wind up being the best game, or definitely the game with the biggest stakes by the end of it.
Yeah, and I think that it will be an announcement for either of the teams as well. Mm-hmm. Like for the Bills, it's a different announcement. For Jacksonville, it would be, okay, you beat the team that has been around in the postseason for the last 6 years. Okay, you've arrived. For Buffalo, the announcement is kind of turning up the volume on that narrative of theirs of, no, it's Brucey's time to shine.
Yeah, and I say this to you too. Like, I hope people are ready for the fact if they win this, that just gets louder.
The volume gets turned up. Yeah. I said it. Yeah. It's Tuesday and I'm tired. However, every week that the Bills exist in the postseason, the narrative will get louder. Because at a point, once you get to, say, hypothetically, the AFC Championship game, then the pundits are going to, oh my God, are they actually going to do it? And the volume is cranked to 11. I can't take the headphones off. They're glued to my face.
Man, it's gonna be something on Sunday. I can't wait. I love that it's at 1 o'clock too. It's the old reliable time that we don't really get to see all that much anymore.
It
makes sense
with
Jacksonville. Also, to the caller's point previously in the last segment, and we'll keep getting your calls here in just a moment. I am also expecting a pretty heavy Bills contingent. I always want fan bases of the NFL to like be like fun and that no one really has like a bad fan base. I don't like that in sports leagues. I don't want it to feel essentially fraudulent. Jacksonville is probably the closest to that in the NFL, where it just kind of is like, oh, this is weird. Like, it's clearly a college town. Like, there's always rumblings they're going to move their team to London and stuff like that. I mean, they already play one of their home games every year in London. But yeah, like, I fully expect there would be a lot of Bills fans. There was in 2017. I mean, that's the year that Jacksonville goes to the AFC Championship. And it was true in 2017 that a bunch of Bills fans flocked to Jacksonville for one day and left. That's absolutely true. And I imagine it's going to be the same thing now. Because unlike last time was more the euphoric feeling of we're finally there. Now this time it could be, I'm going to go watch Josh Allen and the Bills. I'm going to go maybe watch a Super Bowl run here. It just happens to be on the road. Oh, so I don't have to freeze? Okay, cool.
Welcome back to the narrative.
Yeah.
And you use it in the favor of, okay, I got to watch this team.
Right. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll take your calls. How are you feeling on the early days of the week? Bills at the Jaguars Sunday at 1 p.m. Jerry is up first this segment. Jerry, how are we doing?
I'm good. I'm actually very happy with the defense. Mm-hmm. I think the rushing issues that we have, sure, there was week one. I think the Miami game, it was inflated because there were 3 or 4 times that A-Chain had a 3rd and 1 or a 4th and 1 and then cracked a seam. In a normal game, he scores 1 touchdown and rushes for 100 yards. It's not this overwhelming, look at these long runs. It was just situational where, again, it's fourth and one or third and one, and he finds a seam and gets through it. It's you're trying to get a stop there, and you don't get the stop, but you give up a big play. It's, you know, in a normal defense in a closer game, maybe it's much different. We just needed a stop there. Mm-hmm. The New England game, did Henderson have like two big runs, and
he
that
did.
Was it?
Oh yeah,
yeah. I think the numbers are fairly skewed. I don't think we've been as bad against the run as we think we have.
No, and Jerry, it's a good point to bring up. Thanks for the call. It's been Shaq Thompson. And not him necessarily in like the singular, like, guys, they have an all-pro year. It's just more him being slotted at middle linebacker has really improved the Bills' rush defense. They have had a problem, and you bring up the long runs as well. And it was, yeah, they got past the initial contact, the initial, you know, hit point. And then once they got towards the linebackers, Terrell Bernard, it went south a lot of the time for the Bills. Didn't always have to be these 60-yard touchdown runs, but it was, you know, 15, 20 yards. You know, now all of a sudden Cole Bishop is coming up, and we mentioned that with him as well. When your safety leads your team in tackles, probably not a great sign for the day.
It's not a great sign for the day. It's not a great sign for your season, as a matter of fact, if that's also the case.
But so looking at their rushing stats, and if you want to, we can even go from the Miami game. You know, Tampa is not great. Miami's not great. 107 against Miami, 202 against Tampa. Then it goes down to 108 against Houston, a loss. Then 58 against Pittsburgh, 62 against Cincinnati, although they were throwing the ball quite a bit. However, they only end with 338 total yards. 246, you do mention it there with New England, 160 against, or excuse me, yeah, New England, 160 against Cleveland, then 82 against Philadelphia. So kind of sandwiched in there, they are improving. It's not the greatest thing in the world. They are still not a great run defense by any stretch of the imagination. But I also am not going to sit here and say Etienne is going to be the guy that's going to kill them finally.
Well, the thing is that it's about how they pursue. It's not about the backs themselves. It is about who they are dealing with offensive line-wise, what's the pursuit angles, how are they shedding blockers. You mentioned, if a safety is leading the team in tackles on the day, it's not a good day. I hinted at season. Zach, the starting safeties lead the team in tackles. In Cole Bishop and Jordan Poyer at second.
Mm-hmm.
It is because of pursuit angles. It's about block shedding. It is about pursuit because it's not always about the big runs. You mentioned like the 15-20s. I'm going with the run that should be 2 or 3 yards that ends up 9.
Right.
Because of a missed tackle, because of a bad pursuit angle, mm-hmm. because you couldn't get off the block in time, because you over-pursued and you got sealed off. And that's where Shaq Thompson's been valuable, is cutting down on the that should be a 2 or 3 yard gain and it ends up 9 and it's 2nd and 1. That's the play you need to eliminate. That's the play that kills you, because that's not the flashy one. That's not the one that stands out, but it's the one that keeps the drive going. And I will say there's one part to the Bills' run defense being problematic, and it's those types of runs. Why? They extend drives, they put teams into favorable situations, and that allows them to chew up the clock. Big runs can go for touchdowns. You get the football back. The Bills sometimes don't have the clock working for them. That's the big effect that I look for. The Bills do operate on a more of a time-eating efficiency offense now. You need that clock. At the very least, you need to make sure you're getting yourself off the field. And when you have those runs, the ones that should be stopped for a minimal gain, and they go through the linebacking core, it is infuriating to see.
Yeah, absolutely. 803-0550, the number to call. We're going to end up spending a lot of time on the run defense. I do know that. It's been the passing attack for Jacksonville that has kind of unlocked them. It is Trevor Lawrence and the way right. he is playing. It is Parker Washington and Jacoby Myers being incredible. They haven't had Travis Hunter basically for this entire win streak. It's been the other guys. So like their first round pick, the guy they trade up for, hasn't really even been a part of this. And you're likely going to be down Max Harrison this week. Again, he's doubtful to play or unlikely to play. So we're going to kind of move with that being the case. So it's going to be Christian Benford, Trey White, and probably Dane Jackson getting called up are going to be your boundary corners. I mean, it's going to be a tough test. This is where you do wonder, or maybe hope, what have you, what kind of...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Playoff performer is Trevor Lawrence. Do the lights get brighter? Or is it just going to be the sheer fact, because this is true, and I've mentioned, you know, you're not just the immediate heir apparent, right? Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson are out, so it's got to be Josh Allen now, right? I've mentioned that. You're not entitled to being the next guy up. But with that being said, most teams do have to go through a losing period before they win. That is true. That is at many times the case. It would be pretty stunning if Jacksonville goes from one of the locales of the league up there with the Jets and the Browns of just being complete ineptitude incarnate to all of a sudden 1 year because they got Liam Cohen, right? That all of a sudden, nah, they're beating everybody now. Now it doesn't matter. We can look at the Bills schedule and everything with that and how it's fairly weak, even their biggest wins. Kansas City is not a playoff team.
Similarly to Drake May and Mike Vrabel.
Right.
Like, neither of you have gotten anywhere deep in postseason. At least Denver, I can say Sean Payton's done this before.
Vrabel's got a little bit with Tennessee.
Vrabel's got a little bit, but he also was the one seed that got trounced right away. But, which also probably is going to happen in Denver.
Definitely could. But I look at Jacksonville, though, and I do wonder, like, maybe is it a year too soon? Like, is next year the year where all of a sudden they maybe lose more games because the schedule's harder, but overall take a much bigger step forward? I don't know. It's why I really like the AFC bracket so much this year. It's also why I kind of can't stand it, because you really just don't know what you're getting. You always knew what you were getting with Mahomes, Allen, Lamar in there. They were all going to win a game, and then the divisional round is where we're going to get the fireworks show. And then we'll see who winds up in Kansas City for the AFC Championship. Because that just seems how it always went.
It seems like how it always went. Even if they weren't the one seed, they found a way to have that out of the way.
And now, what is it, like, for the first time since like 2019 or something like that, one of Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes is not going to be in the AFC Championship?
Well, yeah, that's a hard – wait. Patrick Mahomes alone isn't going to be in the AFC
Right, but Burrow was also like – at least one of those guys was always in it.
But Allen was the other one. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, really, I don't know why they included Burrow's name in there. But because the other guy that's been there the other half of the time in the AFC Championship game is still there.
It's just but to me, it's going to be a wild ride. You know, even if it ends on Sunday for the Bills, I'm still going to be kind of almost morbidly curious to see how it all ends. Because there's certain teams, fair or unfair, I mean, there's probably going to be people out there that say the same thing about Buffalo. If you grew up in the 2000s on, it'll feel weird to see them in the Super Bowl. I will be awestruck if I see a Jacksonville Jaguars team in the Super Bowl. It will feel wrong, right? And I don't want to say that disrespectfully, but let's all be honest here. Like,
it's the same with Buffalo.
It will feel weird. And I look in the NFC side of things, though, too. Like, it's not that long ago Carolina was in the Super Bowl, but that'd be insane.
Even weirder. Houston.
Houston, yeah.
Like, Houston, Jacksonville, Buffalo are the three teams that you can look at, and the logo on the helmet being slapped onto a Super Bowl billboard will feel weird for a lot of people in the country.
Yeah, depending on your age, it will be very, very strange. Let's go back to the phones. JD is up next. JD, how we doing, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. I just want to say, having watched the Bills for about 55 years, Josh Allen is young. He's still healthy. And this club has been good enough to win it for like 5 or 6 years. And this is a mental thing. It is time for them to decide they're going to do it. And I see clubs, San Francisco, Seattle, they're all beatable. And I just remember that John Elway was 37 when he finally won one, because it took them that long to find him, Terrell Davis.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Josh Allen is sitting there with James Cook and Ray Davis and Ty Johnson, and they've got a hell of a running game. Today is the day. I don't want to hear about McDermott or Bean or whoever. This is single elimination playoffs. This is not seven-game series. And I'm a big believer that it's time for the Bills to decide that they're going to get the timing right and show up on the right day. Now, as far as the run defense goes, every time I hear it stinks, they go out and stop Saquon Barkley for, like, I don't know, 68 yards or whatever it was. So I think Shaq Thompson's been an upgrade, and I think the Bills can pull it together for a day. And I think the time is now. Allen's young and healthy, and I'm convinced that they they can put it together on the right days. They've made it very difficult for themselves having to go on the road, because half the teams who get the bye these days, it's an enormous advantage. Only one team gets it. 50% of the time, the team with the bye is going to go to the Super Bowl. So it's either Denver or Seattle, most likely, in one of the conferences. So that's my take on the Bills. It's time to win it. Win it now. I don't want to hear about next year. But I do want to get your thoughts, and I want to follow up on something regarding Marv Levy real quick.
Yeah, JD, just real quick on all of that. Just, I mean, yeah, I watched the John Elway documentary, the TD stuff. I mean, he went to three straight Super Bowl, or not three straight, but went to three Super Bowls early in his career, and they got more depressing as it went on, and eventually got to the point where Denver fans didn't actually want to go back to the Super Bowl because they're like, cool, we're just going to get embarrassed by an NFC team again. Let's not do that. And then they win back-to-back ones to end out his career. It's a little bit of ways down the road, hopefully, for Allen. He's only 29-30 in this season. I think Elway retires when he's like 37-38. And yeah, and it's a good point to bring up, though, with the rushing attack, James Cook. Like, you can no longer just say Allen's doing it with a bunch of guys. Cook has established himself, I think, comfortably now as one of the premier backs in the sport. He is absolutely a go-to back. Doesn't necessarily have to be on the field for three downs. Derrick Henry's not. He's usually not on the field on third downs unless it's like third and one and they're going to run it. He's not out there for passing situations. Likewise, Cook's not there to pass block, but he led the league in rushing. Like, that's what he does now, and he's been their kind of go-to guy when the passing game can't get going. To a certain extent, it's been frustrating because they've had to lean on him so much, but Elway gets his rings when TD runs for 2,000 yards, and they're essentially built through that, and then throw up some goal balls to Rod Smith or Shannon Sharp.
Yeah, if you guys don't mind, I just want to ask you one thing here. I am surprised that 30 or 35 years after Marv Levy departed the coaching scene, I'm surprised that more clubs haven't used the no huddle as a mechanism. And I want to get your thoughts on this because it's interesting. It's not so much from the offensive perspective, although I always loved the Jim Kelly Bills, but stop and think about this. When they won the 51-3 game, the famous story is that Howie Long was asking Jim Kelly, could you guys slow down? And when I see these fantastic superstar defenses that I'm told they're so wonderful that the Bills have to go up against, I stop and think to myself, God, if the Bills just went to a hurry up, how many of these guys would be gassed after a first down or two? And I think it can say, we're the Buffalo Bills. Our signature was the no huddle, and I was just wondering if you were as surprised as me that Marv Levy's legacy was not latched onto more often than it is. And I'll hang up and get your thoughts.
Yeah, JD, thanks for the call. It actually is. The no huddle is now used more widely in the NFL, not to that exact extent, but the Bills also would only run like 4 to 6 plays pretty aggressive. I mean, they were fast about it, but that was kind of what they did. That is now much more widely used in the NFL. You also have to remember, too, conditioning is much better now. You are not going to get to that point that you did in that AFC Championship game. Because I've rewatched it, and you can see by like the second drive, the Raiders are pretty much done. They have no idea what to do. They're exhausted. It's more widely used now. It's just not in the exact same vein. It's not the exact same template. I know the guys in One Bills Live, Steve Tasker especially, have talked about that a lot. Just it kind of is used more in the National Football League than it was. It was revolutionary then. It's more standard now. It just does not look exactly the same. 803-0550, the number to call. We do have primetime players coming up at the top of the hour. We'll keep taking your calls, though, when we come back. What's your confidence level for Bills-Jags this Sunday at 1 p.m.? It's early days in the week. Bills don't even have practice today. But we've all been kind of waiting for it. We've all been thinking it's going to be Jacksonville for at least the last few weeks. Love to hear your thoughts when we come back. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.